Welcome to the James River Church Podcast. You're about to hear another inspirational message from Pastor Brandon Lindell, Executive Ministry Pastor at James River Church. It's our prayer that this message is an encouragement and blessing to your life.
And today, as part of our Get Smart series, we're jumping in right now because, you know, and I just love this series because it shows us that, you know what, a wise life is a better life. We all could be wiser, right? We all need the wisdom of the Lord. And that's the great thing about the book of Proverbs. This whole series comes out of the book of Proverbs. And today we're talking about wisdom and our finances when it comes to generosity and giving. I want to speak to you from the subject, the why behind your giving, the why behind your giving. And I mentioned to you before, Beth and I have four kids and we love to help them be wiser. And that definitely applies to where they spend their money. You know, Beth loves to garage sale. She likes to go to garage sales. She loves a good deal. Any garage salers in the house, every campus, if you're online, put an emoji in the chat. Yes, you guys are the people who love to get a good deal. Beth comes from the family called Obrimskys. That's her maiden name, the Obrimskys. And the Obrimskys love to get a good deal. They love to go to a garage sale and just be like, hey, can I get this for a quarter? And it's like $30, you know, it's like, and to see what happens, you know? And I've really learned from that. I've grown from that. And we're watching our kids they're at the garage sale and they're bringing different things they want to buy. I know this happens, or you might be in a store and this happens, but at the garage sale in particular, they'll bring something up and they'll be like, hey, can I buy this? And you're like, I think we can get that cheaper, brand new and better, right? But or they bring something up and they're like, hey, can I buy this? And be like, yeah, hey, go talk to them about, you know, what you could give them for, and just try to teach them. You know, the other day I was talking to Evelyn and we were riding in the car and I was talking to her just about her finances and how, you know, she's moving into being a teenager and just the different ways to talk about money and to be wise in her finances, wise in her giving. And that's because that's a good thing to do as a parent. You know, money affects so much of our lives and you want your kids to be wise. And Proverbs is written from a parent to a child saying, this is how wisdom works when it comes to finances. A lot of Proverbs deal with money and finances. In fact, a lot of the Bible deals with what we use our money for, how we use our money wisely. And how many are thankful that we have a heavenly Father that wants to bless us, that wants us to be wise, that wants us to make good decisions, and wants to pour his blessing and his peace into our life. And that's the great thing about Scripture. So we're going to be looking at what a biblical view of giving and generosity is today from the Proverbs. And to start off our discussion, I want to read Proverbs chapter 11. It says, the world of the generous gets larger and larger. The world of the stingy gets smaller and smaller. Now, often Proverbs are written this way in the book of Proverbs. They're written in a comparison. They're saying, hey, there's two ways to live your life. You can live your life as a generous person, or you can live your life as a stingy person. And then it gives you the principle that, hey, if you live your life this way, then this is how it goes. But if you go this way, this is how it goes. And it's saying a generous person, their life is larger and larger. What's that mean? It means that your life has a big impact. It means that your life attracts the blessing of God. It means that your life makes a massive difference. It means that your life doesn't just affect you. It affects the people around you in a positive way. And that allows you to live a big, godly, blessed life. How many want to live a big life for Jesus? How many want to make an impact on the planet for the kingdom? This is saying if you want to live that kind of life, that's the kind of life a generous person lives. But then it also says a stingy person's life gets smaller and smaller because your life doesn't affect people. In fact, it, because it's inward, it really, in the end of the day, mostly impacts you and it shrinks your world. And that contrast is designed to help you and I go, man, well, I don't want that. I want to live the life that's a big life for the Lord. I want to live a life that impacts people. I want to live a life that has a fullness to it. I want to be a generous person. And that's a good thing. I think if I were to ask you right now, who in this room wants to live that kind of life? I think most people would say, yes, that's the kind of life I want to live. So the question is, how do we do that? How do we have biblical generosity? And the answer is, you need to understand the why behind your giving. Why do you give? So I'm gonna give you three thoughts on that. The first one is you give to make God the priority in your finances. Proverbs chapter 3 says this, in the beginning of the book, honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops. So it starts giving biblical generosity, and the why you give starts with the priority for giving, and that's honoring the Lord. You know, it's so true about finances, right? That finances tell us what our priorities are. Finances, you know, you might be like, you know, Brandon, if we were to sit down and you're like, I like lattes. I just like a good latte every once in a while. I like them when I like a little foam. I like, you know, and you kind of probably have your latte order. Could be complicated. But, you know, you like it the way you like it. And we could sit down and go through your finances, and I could probably be like, you don't like lattes? You love lattes, all right? Because you go in the morning and you go in the afternoon every day, all right? That would tell you. What you spend on lattes would tell you, hey, you love them. Or it could be clothes. You might be like, I like clothes, or I like to get a new clothing item every once in a while. And we might look at your finances and you'd be like, you don't like clothes? You love clothes, all right? You know, that's been true of entertainment or anything, because where we spend our money, where our finances go, where our resource goes, tells you what we love. In fact, Jesus says this. He says, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Jesus is saying, you know, it's not so much what you say. It's where you put your resource that tells you what's in your heart. You want to know what's in your heart? Look at where you put your resource. Look at where you spend your time. Look at where you spend your money. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And we want to be people that our heart is where God's heart is. So if we think about what does it mean to honor the Lord, if we're saying, okay, God, I want to be somebody that honors you, it's not just something we say with our mouth, it's something that we do by putting our resource with what's important to God. You know, the word for honor in Hebrew is this word, it's kabad. It literally means to be weighty, to have weight. To have it, think of it as importance. What is weighted in your life? What is important in your life? And the Bible says that we're to say, we want to be people that our heart is where the kingdom of God is. And therefore, what we give is where the kingdom of God is. How do we honor the Lord with our finances? You know, Malachi chapter 3, we read it often when we're talking about, hey, we want to worship the Lord with our giving. It says this, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse. Tithe means tenth. The storehouse is the place we worship, and we're giving God what belongs to him. The first 10%, the Bible says, belongs to the Lord for building his church because we want to honor him. And you know, when you think about honor, how do you know if you honor the Lord? What does it mean to honor somebody, anybody in our life? There's a couple things that would show you what you honor. If we honor the Lord, first of all, we care about what God cares about. If we're going to honor the Lord, that means we're going to care about the things that are on his heart. Jesus said, I am building my church. How many of you know that Jesus is still building his church today all across the world? Because Jesus is using his church, that's his bride, to reach a lost and dying world. You know, we can do everything better in heaven except reach the lost. And God has put us on this planet to be people that say, you know what, this is who God is. This is what God is like. He loves you. And to reach people through building his church, because that's what Jesus is building. Jesus cares about his church. The Bible calls it his bride. And if we want to honor the Lord, we care about his church. We want to be builders of the church through our lives. Our heart to be in the church by building the church through our finances and saying, God, that's going to be a priority of my life because it's a priority to you. We care about what God cares about when we care about hurting people. That's why I love what we do every year through Season of Giving and the way we help people through Saturday Serve as a church, because we want our heart to reflect God's heart for those in need. God cares about the needy. He cares about people that are hurting. He cares about people that are walking through hard times. And as a church, we're a lighthouse. We're a place where people can come and find hope. We're a place where people can come and find what they need. We were talking this morning in our pastoral circle, and Kara Hopkins, who's over our life group ministry, was talking about somebody who came in on Wednesday, and she was able to get them groceries through the One Heart food pantry, and then they actually gave their hearts to Christ, and then they actually came to Soul Set Free on Wednesday night, and they got a Bible, and it changed their life. And that's God's heart. God's heart is for people. We care about what he cares about. Also, we do what God says. You know, Jesus said, why do you call me Lord, Lord, but not do what I ask you to do? Because what Jesus is saying is, I'm not God. If there are parts of your life where you say, yes, Lord, I give you my life, but I don't give you this. God, I give you my life, but I'm gonna hold on to that. We are honoring the Lord when we say, God, we're gonna do what you say to do, because that's where the power is and that's where the blessing is. Honestly, God wants his blessing and his peace on your life, every area of your life. That's God's heart for you. God doesn't need a single person's money. You know what? He can take care of it. The church doesn't need your money. God's taking care of his church. God's blessing his church, but God wants your heart. God wants your heart. God wants to bless you. God wants to put his peace on your finances because God loves you. And the Lord is coming to you today saying, you know what? I want to bless you. I want to put my peace on your life. I want to put my peace on your finances, because you know what? You can have a lot and not have the peace of God on your finances. This isn't about being wealthy or not wealthy. This is not having a lot of money and not having a lot of money. Every single person, no matter what we have, should honor the Lord with what we have, because that's where we experience his blessing, his peace, his grace in our life. And the truth is, you can have a lot and not experience God's blessing. I think of this scripture in Haggai. It says this: you eat, but you never have enough. You drink, but you never have your fill. You put on clothes, but you're not warm. You earn wages only to put them in a purse with holes in it. That's not good. But that's not the heart of God. This is God talking and saying, hey, if you don't honor me, this is what life's like without my blessing. This is what life's like without my grace on it, my peace on it. And that's why this Proverbs series and this moment where Proverbs is coming to us and saying, this is how you deal with finances wisely, is so important, because God wants you to experience his peace and his blessing and his purpose on your finances. And that starts with that baseline of giving, to say, God, I'm going to give you the first. I'm going to start tithing and over and above that giving. And as you do that, you're going to see God bless you. I think David Green started the company known as Hobby Lobby. How many love Hobby Lobby? Anybody love Hobby Lobby in the house? It's a great place. And they're Christians, and they really felt, as they started in a garage, and they were making picture frames, and it's now a $1 billion company. But they felt early on that God was touching their heart to say, you know what, we should give 50% of our profits away. And they've seen God pour blessing, and the peace of God rests on their company. Look at what he says. He says, tithing is like training wheels. You pay what belongs to God, and then you go into giving. We would start giving, and God would start to bless. What he's saying is that as we say, God, I want to do what you're calling me to do. I want to honor you and put you first. You're going to see his blessing come into your finances. The first thing we have to do is we have to prioritize. The second thing is we want to give to position yourself for God's supernatural blessing. When we give, we position ourselves for God's supernatural blessing. I have four kids, and my boys are both football fans. Everett loves the Chiefs, all right? He's actually decked out in Chiefs gear today, people. He's in this service. Everett, wave your hand. He's got his Chiefs hat on. Yeah, can you give Everett a round of applause? Loves the Chiefs. Edison likes the Broncos, all right? I like the Broncos. My dad grew up in Colorado, so I'm kind of a Broncos fan. We support the Chiefs. We love Everett and in his endeavor. And we go for Patrick Mahomes when he's going for the Chiefs, but I go for the Broncos. And so we actually were in Detroit, and the boys and I decided to go with my father-in-law to a Detroit Lions, Denver Broncos game. And so Bethel's like, you need to get there early. You need to go, you know, see if you can get down by the rail, by the sideline, and watch warm up. She gave us Sharpies. She was like, try to get something signed. And so we go early, and the boys go down by the front, And they kind of like position themselves, some, you know, Edison positioned himself a little bit away from the group, and he was just waving his jersey. He was doing anything to get their attention. It was a super intense like warm up. Like, I think the Broncos were a little nervous. All right. They'd had a winning streak, but they were about to lose. Well, you know, that's what happened. It was sad. But anyway, that you could feel the intensity. And so they're all leaving to go back into the tunnel. Nobody really coming up, but Edison stayed down there. He's waving his sign. And then this happened. Come on, give him a hand. Isn't that the favor of God? I love that. Praise the Lord. I was actually praying, Lord, bless him. And you're probably like, how did you get that footage? It's because the most generous NFL organization, the Denver Broncos, sent it to me afterwards, which was so cool, so awesome. But the point is this. Edison positioned himself in a place where he could receive from Justin Simmons, the Denver Bronco. And I know that sounds like, you're like, well, that's cool. And that's like a natural story, but that works spiritually and supernaturally as well. It works in the kingdom of God. You can position yourself, biblically speaking, for the blessing of God. You position yourself to be blessed. How do I know that? Scripture after scripture talks about it. When you give, you're gonna be blessed. Proverbs chapter 3 says, honor the Lord as your wealth with the first fruit of all your crops. Then, what happens? So you do that, then your barns will be filled to overflowing and your vats will brim over with new wine. This is an agricultural society. They're saying, you know what? You honor the Lord as your wealth, you're gonna have more. You honor the Lord as your wealth, he's gonna give back to you and he's gonna bless your life and bless your finances. And this is called the law of the harvest in scripture. It says you reap what you sow. So that's how harvesting works, right? You know, if I was gonna plant a garden and I was gonna plant cucumbers, I would expect to get cucumbers, right? I would be so not normal to plant cucumbers and get watermelon, all right? Nobody expects that because that's not how it works. In fact, if that was how it would work, it would be super hard to farm because you'd be planting one type of crop and get a totally different type of crop. And you'd be like, I don't have the equipment to harvest this. This is super weird. You know, that's not how it works. You reap what you sow. So if I plant corn, I get corn, right? And not only do you reap what you sow, but in harvesting, you reap what you sow and you reap more than you sow. So when you plant a kernel of corn, if corn grows up and you get one ear of corn on that, you're gonna have 600 kernels of corn. Sometimes you can get two ears and that's 1,200 kernels of corn. And that's how giving works. You know, it's so awesome how God can bless us in different ways, but when we give, the Bible teaches us that when we give our finances, God blesses our finances. In fact, Paul, he's taking an offering. In 2 Corinthians, it says this, remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Whoever sows generously will also reap generously. He's talking about giving and finances and money. And God is able to what? To bless you abundantly so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. How many are you thankful we serve a God who blesses us when we give? How many are you thankful that God pours back into us? And the reason this is so important, because some of you have thought about stepping out and giving, and you need to understand that when you give, you're setting yourself up. You're positioning yourself for the blessing of God and your finances. And God blesses you, not just so you can enjoy it, but so you can be blessed to be a blessing. Yeah. That keeps people from saying like, one day when I'll be generous. One day when I have this, I'll be generous. One day, no, you start giving now, you watch God bless you, and then you grow in your generosity as God pours his blessing in you. Yeah, that's right. More money doesn't make you more generous. It just makes you more of what you are. So the key is be generous today. Trust God and watch him bless you. And this is all over the Bible. Even Jesus said this. Jesus said, give and it will be given to you. What? Did he say, given it will be given to you exactly what you gave back? No, he says, a good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, it will be poured into your lap, for the measure you use will be measured back to you. So it's like you said, okay, I'm gonna give, you give it to the Lord, God takes what you gave, and then he says, you know what, I'm gonna give you more back than you, I'm gonna press it down, I'm gonna shake it together, it's gonna be running over, the measure you use will be measured back to you. Maybe you thought about stepping out and start tithing, and that can feel like, when you first start, it can feel like a big step. It can feel like, man, this is gonna be a massive change in our life, but we wanna honor the Lord. I just wanna encourage you, God will honor you as you give. Look at Malachi 3. It says, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty. And see if I'll not throw open the floodgates of heaven, pour out so much blessing, there will not be enough room to store it. You know what God's saying? Try it. Try it. Mark the day that you try it. Say, God, I'm marking this day down. This is the day I started honoring you with my finances. This is the day as a couple we said, we're gonna give and we're gonna say, God, we're gonna be generous. We're gonna be builders of the kingdom to our finances. Try it. And you watch and you see, God says, if I will not open the floodgates of heaven, pour out such a blessing you can't contain it. You're positioning yourself for the blessing of God. That's why Beth and I, we love recurring giving. That's where you set your giving up to be automatic. You can do that on the website, weekly, biweekly, or monthly. What you're saying is, this is not a decision that I'm making every time I'm in a service or when I feel like it. We're saying we want to position ourselves to be blessed. That's a decision we made a long time ago because, God, we're going to honor you in our finances. And then over and above that, we're gonna give regularly to say, you know what, we wanna be a part of missions and outreach. We wanna reach kids in Haiti and in the Philippines and in Ethiopia. We wanna dig water wells. We wanna be a part of what you're doing because we know as we do it, we're gonna be blessed. You're positioning yourself for the blessing of God. I want you to listen to this testimony. This is from Scott and Joy Lindner from the North Campus. They write this, my wife and I have always tithed, even when times were hard financially. The Lord has never failed to provide or meet our needs. Recently, we walked through a difficult financial situation, and my prayer was for financial blessing to have margins for generosity, like the prayer of Jabez. The Lord answered in an unexpected way with a promotion to a new job within the company that increased my income by 65%. This is an amazing margin and more than I would have imagined. The Lord has been faithful to his word, poured out blessing on us, and has pressed down, shaken together, running over. God is amazing. Can we praise the Lord with them? Isn't that awesome? They're saying God was true to his word. He blessed us. And our world's gotten larger and larger because we wanna have margin to give. And that's why God blesses us. He blesses us to be a blessing, which leads me to the third thought, which is you give to fulfill God's purpose. You know, we talk about the world getting larger and larger, the world of the generous. It's because we have a great commission to fulfill. Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel, baptizing people in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. As we build the church, and as we give, we're reaching the world. Our life gets larger and larger because we're connecting our life to God's purpose. We're connecting our life to what God is doing. We're connecting our life to lives being changed. And it's powerful when you do that. Because when we give, lives are being changed. You know, I think of what's happening at camps. The last kids camp, we just ended kids camp. We had 5 different camps. 13 states were represented at kids camp. We'll put them up. We had Alabama, Arkansas, California, and Paraguay. There was somebody from Paraguay at kids camp. So we're not just impacting kids from this area. We're impacting kids from around the country. In fact, Owen, my nephew, was at Camp 5 at the last camp and led a kid from California to the Lord. He led him to the Lord, and it was powerful. In Camp 4, there were 2 kids from St. Louis who came, a brother and sister. Both of them gave their hearts to Jesus at kids' camp. Come on, let's give God some praise. That's awesome. In fact, at kids' camp, we've had 527 said they were filled with the Holy Spirit. When it comes to healing, 361 said God healed them. 267 kids made decisions for Christ. Come on, let's praise the Lord for saving kids at kids camp. Lord, we thank you. We praise you that you're moving at the camps. We praise you that we get to be a part of what you're doing, Lord. We give you the glory. We praise you, Lord. Amen. Amen. You know, as a church, we exist to reach the lost. And we're doing that through camps. And your giving is a part of that. When you give, you're a part of those kids getting saved, those 267 giving their hearts to Christ, that child in California, their family being changed, that kid, those kids in St. Louis, your giving is a part of that. And that's why I can't wait. I can't even believe, I'm so excited for youth camp, to think we already have two youth camps that are sold out and one that only has 17 slots left for the boys. Dude, God's gonna move at youth camp. It's gonna be powerful, and your giving is a part of it. I think of the Joplin campus. In 2018, we launched the Joplin campus. And then in 2020, we built a permanent location for the Joplin campus. Listen to this. When we opened the new campus building, the neighborhood across the street had one of the highest rates for domestic abuse calls. The police told us that since that campus has been there, there has been a dramatic decrease in that entire area for domestic abuse. Can we praise the Lord for that? God's moving. The gas station in the Joplin parking lot used to be one of the most dangerous gas stations in all of Joplin. We began to pray specifically over that gas station, and recently the Joplin police told our security team that at the precinct, they've been discussing their amazement at how the gas station has no more crime. There's no police calls at all. And they all know because James River Church moved into the area. God is moving. Amen. Praise the Lord. You know, and I think it's no coincidence that we've been praying for God to send a great awakening, to send revival that changes Springfield, that changes Joplin. We're praying and believing God to change the area where there's no more crime, that the Holy Spirit would pour out. And it's no coincidence that in Joplin, as we plant that campus, that crime rate is falling, that Jesus is moving. Can we give God one more praise for his goodness, the power and the presence of the Lord that changes things? You know, I think of Saturday Serve. Since we launched Saturday Serve last year, we've had 5,936 James River Dream Team have served as a part of Saturday Serve. Yeah, it's worth clapping about because we're making an impact on the homeless. We partner with Eden Village and Watered Gardens in Joplin to help the homeless, to help paint and landscape where they have homeless housing, to help people transition out of homelessness. In fact, in February, we knocked on over 500 doors in low-income areas, asking people if they need prayer, if they need help. Many people told us they had just ran out of groceries for the month, and we were able to provide them groceries through Saturday Serve, which is so awesome. Praise the Lord. Yeah, praise the Lord for that. We've been a part of helping kids across America, which brings urban kids in from all over the country and impacting them through Saturday Serve, touching our schools through Saturday Serve. In fact, this month, as part of Saturday Serve, we have a life group in Kansas City that landscaped and cleaned a transitional housing facility for those in need, making an impact in the Kansas City area. This month, as part of Saturday Serve, we have a life group in India that put on an event for kids that are in urban areas that are needy. These kids are Muslims and Hindus, never heard about Jesus. And we'll put a picture up on the screen. So this is the outreach that they did. They prayed to Jesus at that event for the very first time in their life at that Saturday Serve. We're impacting India through Saturday Serve. Come on, somebody. Come on, let's give God some praise. That's pretty awesome. All of that, when you give, you're a part of it. Your giving makes that happen. Your giving is reaching people in this area. It's changing cities. It's changing kids' lives all across the country. It's changing kids in India's life. It's changing people's lives, impacting people who are in need. When you give, you're saying, God, I want to be a part of what you're doing. When you give, you're reaching people for the gospel. And you know, when you do that, you're going to have friends for eternity. Jesus said this in Luke. He said, use your worldly wealth to gain friends for yourselves. So when it is gone, you'll be welcomed into eternal dwellings. There are going to be people when you get to heaven that say, you know what? I'm here because you gave. I'm here because you allowed the Holy Spirit to work in your heart. And you said, God, it's not mine. It's yours. I want to do what you want to do. I want to be a part of your kingdom. I want to live for a bigger purpose. All my life to have an eternal purpose, Lord. And when you do that, people will see you in heaven and say, you know what? I'm here because you gave. And you're going to have friends for eternity. Your life doesn't just make an impact in this life. It makes an impact for all eternity. And it's an amazing thing when we say, God, I want to be a part of what you're doing. God, I want to experience your power and your purpose in my finances. And right now, I want to show you a video that speaks powerfully to the impact and importance of generosity. Let's watch.
Thank you for coming down today. And
you've been in the church for a long time. You've been able to be a part of different seasons and different opportunities. When you think about all that God is doing, all that God has done, all that God is going to do in the life of the church, I wanted to ask you, when it comes to generosity, when the Spirit of God tells you to give, what goes through your heart? What goes through your mind when you think about that? What causes you to go yes to God? Mm-hmm. We're just giving what he's given to us back.
If you put his house first, he will take care of yours.
Malachi 3:10, see if it won't open up the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much, you will not have room enough to contain it.
You will never regret being obedient to the Lord. You never will.
This is not a math thing, right? This is a spirit thing.
And it's exciting to see people come to the Lord.
Making friends in heaven.
We have to give. Mm-hmm. I mean, practically you go, can we afford that? Then you're like, we can't afford not to.
He's never failed, never, never failed. He's always faithful.
He says, test me.
Right.
And if someone says, test me, I'm kind of like, game on, this is a challenge.
You can't outgive God. I think that when you give generously and you get back generously, it just like, it builds your faith in ways that it's impossible to describe.
So you just get to the point where you just look for ways to get more money away.
That's true.
You can look back in our business, in our personal life, and it just exponentially, yes. And it continues. I mean, and we don't have room enough to store it.
You just have to leap out there, because you won't be sorry.
The fact of the matter is, when we give, we're giving it with an eye on the fact that, hey, the gospel's gonna go forth, lives are gonna be changed, and people are gonna meet Jesus because you guys have given.
Right.
Thousands of people have heard the good news of the gospel and have responded to Jesus. I just thought it would be cool for you to be able to hear from some of the people that through your giving, God has transformed and changed their lives. They want to say thank you to you for your investment. So I'm gonna let them do that.
Yes.
Hey.
Hi.
I'm Chris.
Hi, Chris.
My life was a mess a long time ago. Addicted to drugs. Almost lost my family, my kids, my wife, just really, really close to death.
In 2021, I was so far from God. I was going through a divorce and I had a 2-year-old and I was just in the worst place I could be. I was rock bottom.
I was an addict for my whole life, 50 years.
I grew up in like a really rough situation and I actually was in different like facilities growing up as well.
We never went to church. We never prioritized it. I never really thought about God. I never really thought about like Jesus or having a relationship. Like all of that was very foreign to me.
I've been to jail. It started off with a lot of drugs. I just didn't know where my life was going.
Before Jesus, my life was very riddled with anxiety and depression. I was put on medication for it that sent me to the hospital because I had an allergic reaction, and I tried counseling and none of it worked. So I really was at a point where I just felt kind of helpless.
And just, I was empty inside, you know, going to clubs, drinking, everything that just couldn't fill that void. I was at my rock bottom.
One day, I found myself driving by this church, right? And I saw a marquee outside and it invited me in. And so I showed up to church and I met Jesus.
I came to James River and I got saved at James River and the Lord completely transformed my life.
Then I started going to church and it was actually a morning I came in and I had a panic attack that morning. And the sermon was about Jesus and how he took away not just our sins, but our physical and our emotional ailments as well. And they're like, if you have anxiety, like stand up.
I was in a James River church service and throughout the message, I just felt in my heart that I needed to give my life to Jesus.
I asked Jesus into my life. And ever since then, it's been radical change, radical. I mean, the things that he's done for me and my family, since then. It's numerous. I can't even put a number on it.
That's where I gave my heart to Jesus. From there, everything got better. God just kept blessing me and blessing me.
I realized, like, there's something more to life than what I know. And I was at a James River Youth Service, and I gave my life to Christ, and I was forever changed.
My life was completely different. Yeah. I was in community. I felt peace.
The Lord has just changed my whole life.
There's nothing better. There's no looking back. Through turning my life over to Jesus. And that was 2 years ago in April, and then being baptized.
That day I gave my life to Christ, and I truly am experiencing a completely different life now.
Everything I had lost, He totally redeemed.
He radically transformed my life. Now I have a family because of you guys. My life has totally been radically changed.
I would not be where I am if it hadn't been for your investment to James River Church. I wouldn't be here without you guys.
I just thank you so much for everything that you've done to invest in the lives of others.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you so much for your faithfulness in the church.
And it's because of your guys' generosity. Your faithfulness to this house. It's because of you guys that I'm saved. And I thank you with all my heart.
Thank you for being a part of that, for blessing this church.
Because of people like you, I am not the same person I was.
Wow.
What the Lord's done for me, like, I can't hold it in.
I'm remarried. I have a little girl, and every day I thank God. And it's through your generosity and through your giving, through God's grace, that I am where I am now. Thank you guys for that.
Oh, you too.
That's so sweet. You
They're not the only ones who wanted to say thank you. There are a few other people who wanted to just come in and express their gratitude for your generosity. Because you guys said yes.
Yeah.
When God spoke to your heart, you provided a seat for people to hear the gospel. And this is just a small sampling of all the people that your generosity and your yes has touched. And so they just wanted to say thank you.
Come on, can we praise the Lord for lives changed, for what God's doing? We praise your name, Lord. We give you the glory for every person, God, that's come to know you. We give you the honor, Jesus. We praise you, God. We thank you for your salvation in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. That's the power of saying, God, I want my life to be used for your purpose. I want our lives to be used for the kingdom. I want to honor you. God, I know you'll bless, but put my life on mission. Put our finances on mission. God, because I want to be part of your kingdom. That's a little look of what heaven will be like.